You are listening to the ArenaFan.com podcast, coming to you from Radio Row at the Waterbury Ballroom at the Sheraton New Orleans Hotel, the headquarters hotel of Arena Bowl 21. Joining me now is Utah Blaze wide receiver Sia Burley from the University of Central Florida. You've played for, looks like, four teams now: Orlando, Los Angeles, Arizona, and Utah. You spent the last two seasons in Utah. How has that been compared to the other teams you've been with?
You know, it was an expansion team, so it was the building process, especially the first year. A lot of trial and error with different players and, you know, trying to find the right formula, where the other teams were pretty much solidified. You know, I went to Arizona. They had, you know, the Cedric Bonners and Randy Gatewoods and teams like that. And then Orlando was pretty much, you know, solid team, you know, veteran team coming off the Arena Bowl. I went there in 2001. They won the Arena Bowl in 2000. So I was fortunate to play some good teams. And so Utah was, you know, building from scratch, which was a challenge. But I liked, you know, I liked challenges. And I thought that, you know, it was something I wanted to do, go to a new team, try to build something and, you know, be a part of something special and really try to, you know, make it far, you know, from scratch. And but I found out it's really difficult to do, you know, but we gave it our best shot. And Utah's still building. You know, I'm a free agent now, so we'll see if I can continue that building or if it's best, you know, in my interest to go somewhere else. So
basically Danny White begged you to come with him to Utah, is that what you're saying?
I wasn't saying those words, but I mean something like that, you know. I respected, you know, Coach White and his success and everything. And you know, we came to agreement that obviously he wanted me financially and everything, and I really did respect his success that he's had in this league, and so it worked out where I went to Utah.
So this season you had 166 receptions, 49 touchdowns, and a whopping 2,129 yards. First player to ever break the 2,000-yard barrier as a receiver in the Arena Football League. Tell me what thoughts went through your head when you got that accomplishment.
You know, during the course of the year, you know, late in the season, records, you know, come up, you know, talks about records, and it's all fine and good. But you're in the middle of games, and, you know, Coach White's calling plays, and he's getting at you for messing up on this or that, you know, and you're intense, and, you know, we're trying to make the playoffs, and there's a whole lot of things going on, trying to win ball games, close games, and, you know, so you just really are playing one play at a time, trying to execute. I mean, you know, the records, you know, I knew I'd break them here and there, but I tried to just, you know, focus on football because there's so much more important going on with the team and the win and all that than the individual stuff. So, but when you talk about 2000, and that was something special. So when that record came about, it was really hard to stay focused because I didn't realize that, you know, no other receiver in United States football history, you know, I mean, that's major. I mean, you know, so I was really proud of that I had a chance to do that. And so those last few yards came so slow. I was like, you know, 5-yard catch here, you know. You know what I mean? So the game that I knew I could break that record in, you know, it was kind of on my mind because that was something significant. The other records, you know, the yardage record of 1980 and the reception record, those weren't on my mind as much as that 2,000 because that was huge, man.
And as a result of the 2,000 yards, you were named the 2007 Arena Football League Offensive Player of the Year. Other candidates were Bobby Scipio, Clint Dolezal, Chris Grayson, and Chris Jackson. Talk about your competition.
Man, all those guys I tip my hat off to. I respect them, and I would not at all been you know, upset or feel bad if I didn't win the reward because those guys are very deserving. I mean, Chris Jackson, Scipio at the receiver position, I mean – putting up 50-something touchdowns, 53 touchdowns, I think Scipio did. And the numbers that Chris had, he was pretty much right behind me in every category. Plus, his team won 14 games, which obviously he has a big part of. And, you know, you have to respect a man that goes out there and leads his team to 14 wins as the lead playmaker. You know, that's big. You know, I respect that. So, he's deserving. Chris Grayson, obviously, on the other end of that, you know, 1-2 tandem with the receiving quarterback. Putting up great numbers, breaking the touchdown record, you know, by far. I mean, obviously, well-deserving. So all these guys, man, are really deserving. I was really fortunate and blessed, man, that I was voted it. And I really, you know, can look back on the situation and say not only did I win it, but I won it in a year that these players really did big things. And for me to win it with the cap, you know, and with competition like that, it really says something. And I really, really, you know, appreciate it, man.
And since we're talking about a season that was full of big offensive numbers by another by a number of people, do you think the substitution rule change had anything to do with that, with the increase in offense?
I think that it did in some people's cases. You look at Will Pettis' numbers grew because he played both ways last year, whereas he still played both ways, but he played a lot more offense. Mm-hmm. So he you know, this is they're two-way guys. There are a lot of two-way guys that were quality offensive players, but they played two-way, you know, evenly, so they didn't play as much offense. Well, now you get a guy like Will, who was already a great offensive player. His numbers grew because he got more reps on offense now. You know, so now we went from only having, like, last year, I want to say three maybe receivers that went over 40-plus touchdowns. Now we have, like, six or seven. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys that did that were already in the league. They just were playing both ways, like the Will Pettises. So, you know, Chris Jackson, he's been around. I mean, so, you know, I think that affected some players, with myself or other offensive specialists like me and Chris Jackson. I mean, we've done this already. We've had 40-plus touchdowns before. So I don't think it really affected us as much, but it affected some other players, you know. Defensively, you would think that having more natural defensive backs on the field, that it would help offenses. You know, I mean, it would actually, defensive DB, more DBs on the field would actually, you think, would stop us.
Right,
but that goes to show that the 2A players aren't bad players. You know, because we're burning natural DBs just as much as we're burning, you know, the 2A guys. This game, you know, whether you are a two-way or a DB, you still have to understand the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still have to understand. And your first starting two-way guy last year was probably better than their third DB that they're starting this year.
Yeah, you know, probably. I mean? And really, it's true when you say that the receiver already knows where they're going on the field, and the defensive back has to guess anyway. So
right.
Whether they've been on the field playing offense or not, if they're a full-time DB, they're still at the disadvantage to the receiver.
And whoever has more experience. If you take an Orshwante Bryant, a Will Pettis, guys that have five years experience at two-way, and you go get a rookie DB from the NFL, it doesn't matter. The two-way guy is still going to have more experience, even though he's been a two-way guy. He's still going to be better than a natural DB that you go get, or a second-year DB in the league. You know, these guys have 5-6 years playing both ways, and you go get a second-year DB, he's still young into the game. You know, and that's what ends up happening. Your third DB on most teams is still not a quality, you know, experienced guy. It's still a young defensive back.
So do you feel that the change made the league better, hurt the league, or didn't really make much of a difference?
Honestly, I don't like the change. I'm going to tell you why. Because I feel like Iron Man, you know, Iron Man team, the you know, the all Iron Man is not the same. I really, you know, you look at the competition. Will Pettis obviously was very deserving. Don't get me wrong. But mm-hmm. You had less competition because not everybody uses guys both ways like they do Will Pettis. You know, and if they did, Will Pettis probably still win it anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's not a whole pool of guys that go two-way all the time. You know, the stats that you have playing both ways now, defensively or offensively, one of them is going to be down. You know, like Randy Gatewood last year, you know, 30-something touchdowns, and then you got 9 picks. I mean, so many tackles. I mean, that's solid numbers on both sides of the ball. You know, to have 8-9 interceptions, I mean, and then have 32 touchdowns, you know, I mean, that's solid numbers. I mean, and everybody that he was competing with had similar numbers. I mean, 4, 5, 6 interceptions plus with 28, 29, 32, you know, touchdowns, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of guys doing big things. But now you only have a handful of guys that when you talk about two-way players, you used to talk about 10 guys. Now you talk about four guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so
you'll probably be happy to know that the majority of fans that are aware of the rule change would agree with you.
You look at my, you know, not take away from anybody or the performances, but some of the guys went all Iron Man of the week and they had like an interception and a tackle, or you know, where it used to be like 3 touchdowns and 2 picks, you
mm-hmm.
know, Hopkins days, you know, those, you know, Hunky Cooper day, you know, the big time numbers, you know, 3 touchdowns and an interception and forced fumble and, you know, all these things, you know what I'm saying?
And really, there's only a handful of the true Iron Man players left, and most of those are guys who have been at it for a while.
Exactly.
Like you were saying with you were using Pettis as the example, mm-hmm. or a guy like Lawrence Samuels who's
right.
been doing it in this
right.
league for
exactly.
about a dozen years now.
there's nobody that they're bringing up new, probably a rookie, to teach him both sides of the ball. You know what I mean? If it is, they teach him both sides for emergency situations in case they need him to play offense one game and defense one game. Nobody's really getting a chance to play both sides for a lot of reps. So I think it takes away from the Ironman model that we had in this league. You know, this was Ironman football and away from the award, you know what I mean? But, you know, the league is still great. You know, I love the league. You know, I just think it takes away from our Ironman concept.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this upcoming game a little bit. We got a matchup, Columbus and San Jose. I don't think anybody expected Columbus to be here. I'm sure you probably didn't want San Jose to be here, being in that conference. But what team do you think is going to pull it off and win the championship on Sunday?
It's going to be a good game, good tough game, man. You know, I played San Jose 3 times. I have a lot of respect for them, and I understand why they have the success they have. But Columbus is also a good team, and they beat some solid teams to get here, and you have to give them credit. I think the main thing that the reason why both of these teams is here is defense. You know, you got to have playmakers on defense and make plays, and both of these teams can do that. With Gerald Brown being the lead playmaker in that secondary, good friend of mine, you know, interception last week in the semifinal game, you know, turn for a touchdown. Those are big games, you know, Cleavon Thomas getting interception. I mean, you got to have playmakers in the secondary to be able to change games, and that's what both these teams have, you know, along with the pass rush. So offensively, you know, I think it's going to be really a defensive matchup. Whoever can do better offensively, I think is going to win the game. So San Jose's got the veteran, you know, savvy and the advantage, you know, experience, been here before. You know, you got to give them credit, you know, but Columbus is dangerous.
Okay, so you're not going to make a pick?
I got boys over there in Columbus. I got, you know, I got to, you know, I got to stay neutral with that one, man. I can't. I know San Jose is a tough team. I played against them. I haven't played against Columbus, but I give them respect. You know, I think it's going to be a tight ball game. If I had to, you know, give somebody the edge, I'd have to give San Jose the edge, but I won't tell my boys that.
Fair enough. All right. Well, congratulations on winning Offensive Player of the Year. Good luck in 2008, and thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you for listening to this ArenaFan.com podcast coming to you from Radio Row at Arena Bowl 21. Arena Bowl Radio Row is brought to you by Voodoo Barbecue and Grill.